Now then, and welcome to our second episode of our podcast, You Name It. Ricky, we got the first one out and it seems to have gone down all right.
Yeah, it seems that people enjoy listening to our dulcet tones in their spare time, and it's been good. It's been brilliant to see the amount of people like sending support, sending us messages, liking the video, liking the Instagram page, and it's been really positive for us, and I think we're quite happy really about it. So what about you? How do you feel?
Mate, honestly, blown away. I were looking at like 50 listens and a pat on the back, but the feedback and response we've got has been amazing. I think the last time we checked, the video's nearly at 200 listens. Yeah, so thank you. Thank you for anyone who has listened.
Yeah.
Even if it was for the first 2.5 minutes, it still counts, I guess.
It still counts. But if you did enjoy the podcast and you are new and this is your first episode, well, there is an old episode that came out last week with Dara Holden, if you want to go listen to that. But if you want to make sure you never miss a podcast, please subscribe to the channel, and also a like on the video, any comments you had for us. And also, if you want to email in some questions or some guests you think we might get on, well, email us at, what's the email, Denver?
It is younameit.pod@gmail.com.
Yes, so if you've got any questions for us, anything you want to bring up to us, then brilliant, do that. And this is a brilliant episode to come forward, to come, and so we hope you enjoy it.
I asked my ma, is Roy Keane a vegetarian? And she went, no. And then I decided to change to eating meat after that.
We could put this out to the audience. We'll put a picture of you up, and we'll put a picture of Jake Gyllenhaal. And,
yeah, see which one's more likely.
Jake Gyllenhaal, and we'll put one up of James Schwimmer, and then we'll let them decide who you look like more. I think that's a...
Will's mental health starts to be looked at more in a direct light, and it turns out that he's kind of developing schizophrenia at school. And at the end of the show, he murders like half of his classmates in a big school shooting. And that show for me was really important because it's one of those things where you can't take the piss out of mental health. I'm sure that you guys all know, like, a lot of actors such as myself struggle with anxiety and depression. And it's one of those characters where if you don't do it properly and don't give it your all, it does kind of seem like you are kind of making fun or poking fun at that sort of kind of very in-depth.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of the newly named podcast, You Name It. Ricky, we've finally come up with a name.
I know. I'm buzzing, you know. We've actually got a name, and we've decided to You Name It. Like, you can name it. That's brilliant. We're here.
Yeah,
we've done it.
Exactly. Some would call it lazy, but we call it creative. Obviously, the premise of the podcast is naming the movie of your lifetime. So, yeah, we put the two together. I guess you could kind of call it a pun, but yeah, now it's here. We've got the name. It's very real.
It feels
not going back now, is there?
There is no going back, and it's exciting, really. Like, we're here, we're ready, we're gonna take the podcast world by storm. Some would say
we've got more exciting guests,
more exciting guest lineup. We're aiming for the stars. We're going to have an amazing marketing campaign, surely. And we've got loads of things lined up, loads of little gimmicks that we're going to bring in, I think. But Denver, how's your week been so far? How have you been so far?
Well, mate, it's same old for everyone, isn't it? But I've got quite an excited weekend planned. Obviously, it is my birthday coming up. So lockdown birthday will be as exciting as it sounds.
You've just said that, so when people listen to this, they'll message you happy birthday. That's the only reason
you say that.
And I just want to say this right now. So I have bought you a present. It's on its way.
Have you actually bought me a present?
Yeah, I've actually bought you a present.
You've never, ever bought me a present. Why the sudden nice gesture?
So I won £500 this week on a last man standing where Liverpool lost to Burnley and Man United won, which was awful for me. But I won £500 and I decided to buy you a present. And it's on its way. I haven't bought it. I've shared it with our good friend Stanley Burfield. And it is on its way, Denver. So don't you worry.
Fantastic.
You will have a gift.
Hey, I'm excited.
But I think it's time to introduce someone very, very special. Our next guest.
Absolutely, mate.
So, Denver, take it away.
Well, today we have someone who is a good friend of both mine and Ricardo's. He's a man who has done many things throughout his acting career. And also, he took a kind of different route into acting himself. So I can't wait to speak to him. He's currently studying a master's within acting at Al Rifa South. He's a good friend of ours. It is Mr. David Nagai. How are we, David?
Woo! Woo! All right, guys, how are you? Is this where we're going to have like the crowd sounds and stuff like that?
Yeah, we had applause.
David, before we get started, I'm going to send you a picture of what I bought Denver for his birthday. Could you just, without revealing anything, could you just tell me what you think of it?
I already know it would be ridiculous.
Have you got it, mate?
Everything that you do is ridiculous.
I think... what do you think?
I mean, it's inventive.
Exactly. Exactly. It's exactly. It's brilliant.
The sound of concern in David's voice is not what we need to
do. I 100% know that he is going to love all of it. It's going to be... brilliant.
Well, I look forward to it.
I think that's a good one. You're always quite good with presents, though, Ricardo. Like you do kind of come up with some weird stuff that I think probably mentioned once on a drunken night, and then you remember 5 years later.
Yeah, and then suddenly it gets brought up.
What can I say? I'm great guy. Great guy. So we say.
Well, David, obviously we all know you pretty well, but the people listening may not. So each week we do a 3 get to know you questions, which obviously gets to know you a little bit better. So first of all...
Very self-explanatory what, there.
Yes, exactly. what did you last have to drink?
I'm currently a little bit addicted to Diet Coke because like anyone in this sort of lockdown, I've got a little glass here. I'm trying to watch my weight, I guess, in some ways, not trying to indulge too much. But Diet Coke has got basically no calories in it, so you can drink liters and liters of the stuff.
And you can get away with it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably full of some chemicals that are really not good for you at all, and you shouldn't consume on quite a regular basis. But I'm addicted to Diet Coke.
Have you got one of those Donald Trump buttons? Have you seen this on the internet that apparently Donald Trump had a button in the White House to press and the waiter would summon with a can of Diet Coke?
So you're fine with Diet Coke as well?
So there you go.
That is incredible. Relate on. Yeah.
That is the most random thing you've ever said. That is so random.
I read it today.
The next question for you, David, is a would you rather question. And if you didn't know, I am the master of would you rather questions. So my one for you is, would you rather speak to animals or every language in the world?
Oh, it's got to be every language in the world.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, what you could do with that. Like, animals are all well and good, but you can, like, I guess you can just stroke a cat, but not everyone can speak Chinese, you know?
Exactly. But also, what conversation are you really going to have with a cat? Like, what is a cat going to say to you? If you took a flight to the Gambia right now and you could speak every language, you could speak to all of them, learn all the cultures. If you had a conversation with a dog, it'd be like, ooh, I want to go shag that leg, or ooh, I want some food. Like, it wouldn't be interesting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you have your own niche market then. You're the only person that can speak to animals. Then there you go. You're already a celebrity. So you do have
what
that.
What do you think would be the most interesting animal to speak to?
Oh, that's a good question.
Interesting. It's got to be a safari animal, like an elephant or something like that.
I don't think like a tortoise, because like, wasn't there one that just died recently, which was like 175 years old or something like that?
You're not wrong, no. Well, he'd have quite a lot of stories to tell.
Well, isn't there a blue whale that's been around for like 200 years that lives in the Arctic? I swear I heard this. Like, wouldn't that be like interesting? Because that's been through like loads of wars as well.
Yeah, but there can't be that much excitement going on in the waters. They're missing what's going on outside, you know what I mean?
True. But I mean, that's and the final question.
Finally, we'll move on. David, the big one. What's your favourite supermarket, mate?
Now,
we will be taking a tally of these.
Just to jump straight in there. It's got to be Morrison's.
Like, Morrison's?
Morrison's. Wow. I did not expect that from you.
I don't live near one, but like my girlfriend lives near one, and they do this kind of like salad bar thing where you can get like, and it's called a salad bar, but it's basically just essentially like different sorts of pastas and noodles and stuff, and you just like get it, and it's like they do this like meal deal with it, so you can get like a large salad pasta thing for £3.50 with like a samosa, onion bar cheese, and then a drink as well. And I think it's really underrated. And also, it always has some quite good deals on in terms of, like, corn and stuff. And
well, this is it, isn't it? You're a vegetarian, aren't you, David?
How long did it take me to be able to mention that I'm a vegetarian in this podcast?
You've not always been a vegetarian, have you?
No. My dad's very picky and not a very good cook either. So it was actually just easier for him to be vegetarian. So I was probably vegetarian until about the age of 9. And at the time, I was a huge fan of Man United. Sorry, Ricky. But particularly of one player, Roy Keane. Who, I just idolise Roy Keane. I don't know why. I think it's probably because he's the most successful Irish player in the Prem. I guess after George Best, maybe more successful than Best. But like,
some would argue Robbie Keane, maybe.
Maybe Shane Long.
Or Kevin Doyle. But anyway, I was really obsessed with Roy Keane. And one day I asked my ma, is Roy Keane a vegetarian? And she went, no. And then I decided to change to eating meat after that.
So how long did you eat meat for? For 9 years you ate meat because of Roy Keane?
Yeah, I changed back to vegetarianism when I went to uni. So, 9 years I ate meat because...
I really hope one day you meet Roy Keane and you can tell him this story.
Tell him this story. That is phenomenal.
Because it's just a brilliant story that Roy Keane inspired you to eat meat. Like, we should have more, like, Roy Keane start an advertising campaign to help people, like, to get people to eat meat, get rid of corn, get Roy Keane just, like, on a packet of steak, just, like, eat meat. That's not going to happen.
You know, if I met him ever and I told him that story, I'm not sure he'd even be interested.
No, so. You wouldn't get much of a reaction, would you? No.
But I think we spent enough time, you know, talking about this. We're going to get to the nitty-gritty of what this podcast is all about. And this is all about creating a film of your life, Mr. David. And I think there is no other better place to start than with who would play you in your film of your life, David?
I might have kind of broken the rules already because I don't know if you can choose like a person in a certain era of their career. So
we'll allow it.
The way I'd look at it is that I'd have David Schwimmer looking back on my life. So it would kind of be him narrating all that's happening.
Right. Just to put this out there, some of you might not see the piece of this, but the reason David has picked David Schwimmer, or you may know him more as Ross Geller, is because, David, you would say you look like him. He's your celebrity lookalike, would you say?
I wouldn't. A lot of people say that I've got... I look a lot like him. I get stopped quite often. I used to work in a bar and a lot of people would kind of be like, I used to get called Ross by the chefs at the bar in Liverpool. And yeah, so a lot of people think that I look like him. Maybe not the worst doppelganger in the world.
No. It's very, I think that's a bit of a compliment, really. Ross Geller.
Yeah, one of the best friends character.
Is he? Fair enough. Well,
some would argue.
So just continue with this. So we've got David Schwimmer. David Schwimmer playing David Nagai. And he's looking back at your life. So
he's going to be looking back on my life. I'm thinking maybe doing like a La La Land thing where it's kind of like there's different sorts of consequences to different choices and you see other sides. And like maybe he narrates my not so interesting life. But also I was thinking that adds an extra kind of layer to this, and I have to have a young me, don't I?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this, and I was kind of thinking, do I have to look like me? I considered Macaulay Culkin as a child, you know, without the drugs and Michael Jackson allegations. But instead,
Sorry. You are, so we're going to have a child version of you, and you're going to, Macaulay Culkin is going to play the child.
No. Like, I thought that there was a couple of hours where I definitely considered Macaulay Culkin, but instead, I'm going to go for Jake Gyllenhaal, a young Jake Gyllenhaal from like Donnie Darko kind of era, because some people think that I kind of look like him as well, which I think is a much better
That's
compliment.
That's definitely a compliment. Well, good looking guys, Mr. Gyllenhaal.
What we could do is we could put this out to the audience. We'll put a picture of you up, and we'll put a picture of Jake Gyllenhaal.
And see which one's more likely.
Jake Gyllenhaal, and we'll put one up of David Schwimmer, and then we'll let them decide who you look like more. I think that will finally end the debate for you, if that makes sense.
I like this. So we've set the scene already. We've got kind of David Schwimmer narrating the life of yourself, and then we've got Mr. Gyllenhaal kind of playing the life. Is that right?
Yeah.
Which is really well thought through, so I really appreciate that. The next bit then, so we've discussed who's playing it, and we've discussed a bit about yourself. Where's this movie starting? Where's the start point of this movie? Set the scene for us.
Well, I want to kind of relate it back to, I guess, some form of my kind of acting career as such right now. And I kind of went through it in my head. I think maybe just one, it would start off in one of the rehearsals that I had at a place called First Act Theatre in Newcastle, where I grew up. And basically, that kind of amateur dramatics company that I used to go to taught me everything that I know so far and gave me a lot of kind of life lessons in terms of meeting people you'd never kind of talk to at school, for instance, or like just seeing such an eclectic mix of people in a room together and kind of getting on with each other. It was like very, I guess, harmonious in some ways. Yeah. And I'd like to start off with there, maybe at the age of 13 when I first started acting as a little fat kid, because
nice.
I was about 3 stones overweight when I was kind of like 13 years old.
So I was going to say, you said 13 there. So why, obviously, for quite a lot, that's quite an old age to start drama. Why was it when you were at your teens, you went, do you know what, I want to get into a drama club and start with?
You know, I've always been like a fan of movies. I've always been a fan of kind of TV and cinema. But I played a lot of sport when I was younger. So I played a lot of cricket, squash and rugby. And one day my mum was kind of like to me, she was like, oh, you're playing too much competitive sport. Like, it's too competitive. You kind of like, it's a bit too alpha. I want you to kind of get in touch with your creative side. So she took me to go and see a play that my friend was in, actually a musical. What's the one called? Bugsy Malone. And I saw kind of my friend in that and just saw kind of like the theatrics of it all. And it was a really good show. And I looked at quite a lot of the people on stage, and I was like, well, if people like that do shows like this, I'd like to be involved, and it would be really cool. But funnily enough, she didn't want me to be as competitive in my life, and then got me into one of the most competitive things in the world, which is acting. So
the irony is there to be seen.
Yeah,
but I think what is really interesting about this so far, David, is you've set the scene saying, so we've got David Schwimmer, you know, sitting, I don't know, I imagine him sitting at a bookcase, and he's opened the book of David Nagar, and it's just like Once Upon a Time in Newcastle. And we see Jake Gyllenhaal walk into like a drama club, like a young Jake Gyllenhaal, putting on a hard Geordie accent, you know what I mean? Coming in, doing it. And it's a bit like Billy Elliot. Like, this is the kind of vibe I'm getting, like a proper, like, you know, your dad wants you to go and do sport, and your mum's like, no, I want to go to creative, but even though it's not really like that. But that's how I imagine the story going forward. But, one thing that I really want to, we want to talk to you about is that you now study an MA at Alwa in acting. At mm-hmm. university, you didn't do drama, you did politics. That is really interesting because you didn't do it, even though you've had this passion for it, you didn't then go and do it to university. Why did you decide to do politics? And then we'll discuss why did you decide to change at the end.
You know, kind of shamefully, I guess, I didn't realize that you could kind of go to an acting university like I am going to now, which is ALRA, like an acting school, to study how to act. But more, more I saw of people kind of going away from kind of drama and stuff like that, it was to study like drama, which I wasn't really too interested in studying like the kind of like theories of it all. I was more interested in actually just doing it and getting on stage and kind of being in that sort of collective, you know. And I didn't do very well in my AS levels. I was very lucky to go to private school in Newcastle, and I kind of messed it all up, really. And politics was the only kind of subject I was okay at and had an interest in. So when my focus kind of came to like increasing my grades up to like a university standards to be able to get accepted in, politics was like my main one. I ended up going from like a U in my ASs to an A in my A levels. So kind of all fell into place and that sort of thing. And I actually went off to Liverpool to study politics and Irish history. So that was kind of the reason why I got into it. But looking back on it now, if I had the information, I probably would have done acting as like a 3-year course, maybe gone off to say ALRA again and done 3 years there. But sorry, I'm grateful for the time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you look at it as a regret, or do you look at it as in like it confirmed your passion and love for it? Because even after 3 years of studying politics, you were still like, no, I do want to be an actor. I do want to study drama.
Definitely. Like, I think that I really enjoyed politics, and it was really interesting because I looked at it from kind of like, I studied a lot to do with terrorism in Europe and stuff, and that was really interesting. And I think it's important if you want to be an actor to kind of get a life outside of acting as well. Yeah. Because a lot of people can just focus on that their whole time and not have kind of avenues to be able to characterize some, like if you get a certain character and you've lived such an enclosed life only focusing on acting itself, then like you're not going to be able to characterize it as much as say if you've gone off to Liverpool for 3 years and studied something different there and met different people and talked about different things, you know?
Yeah.
Nice. That's so fascinating. And I think, and the next point to ask is obviously, so we've had Who's Paying You? Where does it start? And the next question is, what is the plot twist of this film then? Like, what is, so well, how are we saying the plot twist? What is the moment that this is the most prominent moment in your life or in the story that was life-changing or something that really, that's something that you want to share with us. Is it that moment where, because obviously we've just spoke about it now, is that moment where you went, oh, actually, I've done politics, but now it's like, I want to go and study acting at ALRA. Would that be a moment where you would talk about as a plot twist, or do you have something else in that you would really talk about?
No, I think that's the best question to kind of answer because it changes all the time. It kind of links in with what my film would be. I kind of considered it to be a musical, but I thought that might explode Ricky's head because he knows that I kind of...
Like, we haven't even spoke about musicals yet, which is something we need to get into. But go on, continue what you were saying there about that.
Well, would it be a musical? Would it be an LA noir sort of thing? And I kind of thought, well, I think it's going to be kind of like a comedy sports film, like, you know, like Eddie the Eagle or something like that. That really good film with Taron Egerton in, or Hot Rod or something like that, you know, where it's kind of a little bit light, but it has got a point to get to, you know. So I was thinking with that, my plot twist within this sort of kind of comedy, sort of progressive sort of like film would be, as you said, just kind of deciding to go off to drama school. And it was in my third year at university, I was in a show called Punk Rock, written by Simon Stevens. And I was very fortunate to get the lead role in that, to play a character called Will. And essentially, throughout the whole show, Will's mental health starts to be looked at more in a direct light. And it turns out that he's kind of developing schizophrenia at school. And at the end of the show, he murders like half of his classmates in a big school shooting. And that show for me was really important because it's one of those things where you can't take the piss out of mental health. I'm sure that you guys all know, like a lot of actors such as myself struggle with anxiety and depression. And it's one of those characters where if you don't do it properly and don't give it your all, it does kind of seem like you are kind of making fun or poking fun at that sort of kind of very in-depth, very serious kind of topic. So I practiced a lot for that show. It got to the stage where I was listening to kind of schizophrenic sounds while watching TV to see what it would be like to have schizophrenia. And it, like I'd be learning lines at pre's before going out. So my housemates, like Matthew Yates, would be reading lines with me.
Wow,
like, yeah, Matty Yates, we'd be like drinking. I don't
right. So we've learned quite a lot about you here, David. We've gathered who's playing you. We've spoke a lot about your influences within acting and why you've done it. We've even touched on more sensitive subjects, which is brilliant. It really sets the scene for what your movie is. But obviously, a movie is nothing without an ending. So how does your movie end? It's kind of, how do you want to be? It could be how you want to be remembered, or does it end now, or kind of your ultimate kind of final goal? How's this movie ending, mate?
I think this is a really tricky question to kind of think about. For me, I don't want it to kind of be that sort of cheesy sort of Hollywood sort of ending. I watched Hacksaw Ridge the other day, and it's a great film, but the ending of it is just the cheesiest thing I've ever seen in my life. Honestly, like, it kind of made my skin crawl. And I don't want it to kind of have something that I can't predict, you know, because like my acting career is always going to progress in a different way to what I think it's going to be anyways. And the main thing is that I want to be able to make an honest living from doing what I love, which is acting. So I think I'm going to have a sort of La La Land-esque ending where there's going to be kind of an assortment of sequences all based on chance. And it's kind of left open for the audience to kind of think about and see what the crack is, you know, instead of like a sort of set thing where I walk onto the stage and there's like a golden light ahead of me. No one's seen past the golden light, you know. I'm going to have just a kind of an open cliffhanger.
An ambiguous like, ending, is it? Is that in case there's a sequel?
Maybe.
I think there's going to be a whole cinematic universe of this.
I love it. It's just an Ed of the Eagle clash with La La Land. No one ever would see it coming. It's brilliant.
What has been really like prominent about this film is there's such a stylistic choice to this film. Like, yeah, it's so clear that there's so much inspiration from big Hollywood films and musical films and stuff like that. And I think that I think the opening, I think you've missed out on a cracking ending here. I mean, I'm going to help you out. I think you've got Ross Geller open the book, starting the story.
David Schwimmer.
I think it should end with him closing the book and just putting it back on the shelf and then just sitting there. just going like, done it out.
Ricky, what you've done there is you've taken David's really unique kind of niche idea and made it a clean shade narrated open closed book type story.
Hang on.
It's Shrek.
Let me finish. And then what happens? Book comes up, and then the camera turns to that, and then we turn, and it's actually David sitting in the chair, not David Schwimmer. Bam. Film. I love that. David, also,
so with that being said, David, are you going with your ending or are you going to go with Ricky's?
Well, let's just say I'm glad that Ricky hasn't wrote and produced this or anything like that. He won't be getting any credits in the
You had it last time with Daryl Ricky. Once again, you do not have a part in this movie.
I was going to say I thought I'd have a part in this film. I feel like I would be a prominent figure, but I also feel like I could direct this and live... And it's fine. I get it, David. It is.
I feel sometimes this podcast is just—it's an advertising opportunity for Ricky, and Ricky he's trying to find projects that he can kind of direct.
Basically, it's just a vanity project for me. Yeah. I'm just trying to find loads of actors who I think's got an interesting story, and I'll put it as a YouTube series. David, so we spoke about, you know, that the ultimate goal is to, you know, just make a living. Out of working as an actor, but you've spoke about, you know, there's so many types of acting that you've done, like musical theatre, and you've spoke a lot about films. Is there any particular one that you know you want to? Is there any something that you want to go definitely into, or are you open for all of it?
You know, I get asked this quite often, especially from like my parents when I kind of come back home and like they're asking me about the course and stuff. And I've always kind of had the kind of set reply that I've practiced over and over again, where I'd kind of say, I'll do anything, including porn, for the right price, you know. But what I really have started to grow into and kind of get some kind of really passionate about is voice acting.
Okay.
Wait, hang on. So you're really passionate about voice acting here. I think this is a bit of an opportunity to test this skill. Like, this is a podcast. This is an audio thing. And you're saying, I really want to do voice acting. Well, hello, David Nagai. We've got an opportunity for you here now. David Nagai, please take the floor. I want you to do... Can we give him an accent? And he has to, like, introduce
the
part.
Are you actually going
to
do this to me?
David, Denver, you
this could be the end of your voice acting career.
David, Denver, you give us an accent. Give us an accent.
I'm going to try and keep it PG, maybe. We'll start
what's not a PG accent? Sorry.
Well, we don't want to start like being a bit offensive, do we? Like, we'll go with Irish.
Irish. Oh, let's have an Irish accent, and we want you to say, hello, my name's David Nagai, and welcome to the You Name It podcast.
Can I not read it off like my notes here? Because I'd prefer to do that, actually, if I'm okay with that.
That's brilliant. I thought we had Daryl Holden from last week then. That was brilliant.
And one more. Let's get we can do this again. Let's try. David Nagai is in a restaurant. He's in a Welsh restaurant.
And
we're in a Welsh restaurant and you are ordering lamb and you put on a Welsh accent and you wouldn't order a lamb, you're ordering a lamb replacement for whatever it is for vegan. You're ordering a corn lamb.
Corn lamb, yeah.
I love how you can't pronounce corn, like.
Yeah, it says corn.
Welsh is the hardest one to do. And
go on.
You're going to have to bleep out my little swear as well before that. Sorry about that. I don't know. I guess I'd try and order a lamb replacement, but I'm not too sure about it. See, that's just coming out as Indian.
It was fine.
And also,
I'm sorry for all the Welsh listeners out there. Sorry, Roger.
The Irish was perfect. Yeah. I love the Irish. However, right, we've got distracted here.
I think we should play the rule of three. Anyway, I think there should be one more. However, we have got a bit distracted, and we were talking about voice acting, which is something that obviously you said you want to get into. Is there any other creative thing that you want to get into, like writing? Is there any other projects that you've been working on that you might want to that you've never tried before, like writing? And obviously music, because you are a very talented musician as well. And there's so many things to you that we haven't even spoke about just yet. Is there anything else you would like to try in your creative journey or as you move forward?
Oh, well, obviously, like being in a band, like when I was younger, was really fun. And it's great to kind of get stage time and kind of present something that you've created yourself in front of people and see if they actually think it's okay. But at the moment, I'm trying to keep as active as possible. I've written a kind of short kind of TV show about two housemates who are locked in during lockdown together, and like their kind of disintegration of their relationship, you know.
Nice.
Which it's only like 20 pages or something like that, but it'd be quite fun to kind of shoot as a little short. And I'm writing a one-man show at the moment as well, or a one-person show. The gender of the person doesn't really matter, to be honest with you. But I'm writing a one-person show, and I'm basically almost finished the first draft. So there's going to be a lot of chopping and changing still. But
we'd love to see a little preview once it's ready.
Yeah, maybe, hopefully.
I hope he's from Wales. That's what I hope it is. I hope he's a Welsh.
Yeah, got a nice Welsh accent.
So we spoke up a little bit about you being in a band and stuff like that. But obviously, the next question to ask about this film is, what is the song of your movie, like your Bond song, or who is writing the soundtrack? What is this?
What's the defining song?
No, I've cheated a little bit on this, because I think music is very important to kind of film and TV and plays, etc., musicals, etc. Because I think it's really interesting to know that like a scene can actually be changed by having the right score. And like, say, if you watch a horror film without the music, then it's not actually that scary and stuff. Yeah. And like, music can really make you feel stuff. And I'm sure like everyone has had that moment when they're on a long bus journey and they've got their headphones in and they're thinking, God, imagine if I was this character at this moment in time and this song was playing. You kind of set the scene out for yourself. I think it would be cheating if I said I want my own band to be the musical score for it, because I do not want that. I listen to a lot of like Maccabees, Arctic Monkeys, David Keenan, Tyler, the Creator, but I didn't want to go for something that people knew about, you know. My friend Gulzar Denoyer, he's just released an EP, as well as being a on shift doctor in the wards at the moment.
Very good.
Saving people. He is also writing amazing music. But I didn't go for his music either. Sorry, Gulzar.
Right.
I went for three songs. So I went for, because I want to kind of have like.
What's your friend's band? What's your friend's band called?
It's just Gulz, so G-U-L-Z, and it's just him.
And we will drop a link to that song on the socials for everyone to listen to as well.
It's really good. But I've gone for like a progression of music. So to start off, I want Toronto by a band from Newcastle called Spitfire Hostels, which is this kind of like a teenage angst sort of like wanting to get away from everything, but also not at the same time, which is really cool. Then I think halfway through the film where there's like the twist or like there's the downfall of me as the character, I'd go for something like Summertime by Vince Staples, who's a really cool rapper. And then finally, for the final song to kind of polish off all the kind of drama that's gone on, I'd go for Box 42 by a band from Hull called The Hubbards. They're pretty cool as well.
Nice. So you've really thought this through. Kind of difference in genre and everything. I really like that. So, and we will, again, with all of those musics, we'll drop that on the socials in case you haven't heard of them. That's really great.
I think before we get to the final question, I think it's just brilliant if me and Denver have a little bit of a run back to go through what happened. So the film starts with David Schwimmer opening the book, reading the book. Jake Gyllenhaal appears as a young David Nagai going to theatre classes in Newcastle's, growing up, learning all this. Jake Gyllenhaal is still there, you know, goes to university, studies politics, has this life-changing experience where he does punk rock, learns so much about acting, gets really into it, and he has that moment with his mom and dad where they say, like, maybe you should go and do this, and he grows up, and then it ends with this... it ends with this beautiful scene that, like, similar to La La Land, where there's loads of different options going around, and then it ends with hopefully Ross, Javis Miller putting the book back, closing
not
the book.
Including Ricky's moment, Ricky's moment, and but all in the style of an almost kind of comedy, sports slash musical style, and that's great. I don't even know what that genre is.
And finally, and I think this is going to be the hardest question: is what is the title of this film?
So when you kind of sent over this question for me to kind of prepare for, I messaged a lot of my friends thinking that it's better for me to kind of have the story kind of named by someone else, because you don't really spectate your own life, you know, you kind of live it and people kind of take opinions away from it. So I've got a couple here.
I'm excited where this is going.
Some of them were a lot nicer than others. My ma, of course, went for The Angel of Our Lord. which I don't think I'm going to go for.
No.
Someone, my friend, my great friend Charlie Ward, he went for Who Gives a Fuck Anyway.
nice. I do like that.
Someone else said Is This It? Which is an all right one. I don't think it beats Who Gives a Fuck Anyway, but I think the main guy who has named my film aptly is Jake Dixon, and he went for Mixed Martial Artist.
So, nice.
He went for that. So
we're going with that. Mixed Martial Artist. We love it. That's brilliant. Because obviously, for people that don't know, you've got a huge obsession with MMA and UFC as well, haven't you?
Yeah, huge obsession. Like,
really?
So Mix Martial Artist starring David Schwimmer and Jake Gyllenhaal will be coming to cinemas near you. And it is an epic, an absolute epic of a film. And I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you, mate.
For coming on, David.
You've clearly put a lot of thought into each of the questions, and you've also given us a lot to laugh at.
It's been a lot,
enjoyment indeed,
a lot of fun. And if this series continues, we'll love to have you back on.
Yeah,
and
we'd love to have you back.
And to see what's going on with you in the
future. Hear about these shows that you've written as well.
So, no worries. Do you mind if I give a quick little shout out to some people?
That's okay. Course, get your shout out.
Oh,
I don't know if we're big enough yet for shout outs, but let's start it. Go for it.
Well, my girlfriend would kill me if I didn't say shout out to Frankie Fleming.
Frankie Fleming.
Shout out to me mum, me dad, the gang in Scaries, and then also shout out to Lust Theatre and Luds Theatre of University of Liverpool.
We haven't even mentioned Lust and Luds, and that's how we met, David, and they are a big part of me and you as well. And I think they deserve a shout out. Go on, Lust and Luds.
Well, maybe I get a second episode and we can talk more about that some other time.
Maybe we can talk about the brilliant show that was 9 to 5 and some of the amazing acting performances in that. And I'd love a Lust episode one day, and we'll definitely get you on. But David, thank you so much once again for coming on. You've been an absolute pleasure, and we wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Thanks a million, guys. See you later.
So that was the episode with David, and that was absolutely brilliant. So much fun, such an interesting guy, and he really came with some notes, didn't he?
Yeah, no, mate, he had 2 A4 sides of paper through research and everything that he's done. It was brilliant, mate.
He came with so much, and he had such a style to his film, and I just want to say a massive thank you to him as well.
Yeah, brilliant.
Thank you so much for coming on, being such an interesting guest, and hopefully people enjoy it when it comes out.
Yeah, and if you have enjoyed it, we have now got all the socials. We've got our Facebook page, Ooh. We've got our Instagram page, and we have a YouTube page as well. So if you do like what you're hearing, hopefully we've got a lot more to come. So if you give us a like, give us a follow, give us a subscribe, whatever you do on those socials, and we will be able to post more content about the things we've spoke about future pods, and information about what we're going to be doing next. We've got some really exciting guests coming up. We've got some exciting things planned, and we're really looking forward to you all hearing it. So yeah, if you give us a follow, give us some 5-star reviews, and listen to us on wherever you listen to us, and it'll be some good fun.
If you've got any questions for us that you want to send our way, then Denver, what is the email address?
We do have an email as well. It is younameit.pod@gmail.com. So that is younameit.pod@gmail.com.
So maybe you've got some questions you want to ask us. Maybe you're having a girl trouble. I don't know. Send it across and we'll see.
Is that what we're here for?
I don't know. But I just thought maybe you are having
girl. We might be able to help. Yeah.
Girl or boy trouble, we are here to help you. So, you know, we're here to be your friend as much as create films for you. So
now we have a name. There is still one thing that we miss that all good podcasts have. So, Ricky, I've got you a challenge for next week. Are you up for it?
I'm up for it.
Right, I need you to find us a jingle, right? And I need something good. I don't want anything rubbish, and I don't need you singing on a piano. But can you get me a top quality jingle for our next pod?
Well, that's, you know what, Denver? As soon as you've set me a challenge, I'm going to set you a challenge as well. And right. Your challenge is, if I'm caught with a jingle, I want you to come up with a slogan. So,
slogan? Slogan is. Right, okay. This could be interesting. I'll have a little think, and we'll get back to it next week. So next week, we've got another guest coming up. We'll be talking about their movie of their life, and we'll apparently also have a jingle and a slogan for you. So see you next week.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.